So over the years, because I've done this for a living, I've got to know quite a few boxers who come in. And I was with Anthony Crawler, and Anthony's going to be fighting in July, and I was with him doing some sessions with him recently. But Jamie Moore's a local lad and a boxer, and I've watched his career and what he's been doing and watched him in the media. However, I saw a piece in the news. You know when you look at a news story twice? Because last year in Marbella, Jamie was out there training and somebody shot him. And you know, I read the story twice and I thought, is that Jamie Moore? Is it another Jamie Moore that boxes? And no, it was Jamie Moore. And he's with me now, joining us to talk about what happened. Thanks for coming in, by the way, Jamie. Nice to have you here.
No worries, mate.
And I know, you know, this must be, well, life-changing and traumatic experience. But what actually happened? Tell us, unveil the scenario.
Well, I'd started training a fighter called Matthew Macklin, who I actually boxed in 2006. And we was pals when we boxed. And then, obviously, we had an unbelievable fight. It's like watching a Rocky film. So he's been voted as the best British title fight ever. I went on and won that, but he's then gone on and had a fantastic career. He's boxed for world titles and stuff in America. And then when I started training fighters, he asked me to train him. So he was based out in Marbella at the time. So I'd gone out there to Marbella to train him. And we'd had a couple of training camps before this and everything had gone great and there was no problems. And then the third fight what we was having, I was over there. And we was only 2 weeks into the camp. And it was the only weekend what I spent there, because every single weekend I'd been there before, I'd always come home to see the kids. And just this particular time, Matthew had been, he'd had a press conference on a Wednesday in Dublin. So I said to him, well, listen, I'm not going to come out till after the press conference, but I'll stay over the weekend. I'll go home next Friday. And it was one of my mate's birthdays. So we'd gone out down the port in Marbella. We'd had a great night. And then me, as usual, I'd had enough before everyone else. So I decided to jump in a cab and get off home. So I've gone back to where I was staying and I walked into the garden. And as I walked in, out the corner of my eye, I just seen somebody walking towards me. And I turned around and there was a guy stood there. He had like a Halloween mask on, pointing a gun at me. And my initial reaction was, it's one of my mates having banter. So I told him to F off. I said, oh, go on, you know, crack on myself. And just carried on walking. And then, you know, a split second later, I turned around and I said, you know what, that's not even funny. Because I'm thinking, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And then he just shot me in the hip. So I went on the floor and I heard more shots going off and I felt my body shake. So I knew I'd been shot again, but I wasn't sure where I'd been shot. And then I could hear him still stood near me. So I was just lay there thinking, oh, what's going on here? And then I just heard him run. He just ran, jumped over the wall. I heard him climbing up the wall. And then I heard a car start and drive off. And I just lay there, you know, thinking, wow, what has gone on?
Did you think you were going to die?
Absolutely. I mean, those sort of couple of minutes after that, I was lay there. It was pitch black, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm on my own. And I looked down because I was lay on the driveway and the driveway sort of, my head was facing down the driveway and I could just see blood running down the driveway. So I thought, oh, if I don't get help, I'm going to die. So luckily, I'd put my phone on. Everyone can relate to this. How many times does your phone go dead while you're out on a night out? And luckily, I'd had an hour before I went out. So I'd plugged my phone in and charged it up fully. So my battery was, you know, probably on half. So I didn't know what to ring because I was in Spain. So I rang 999 thinking they'll tell me what to ring. And I didn't know this, but when your phone's roaming, it just goes to the emergency services, whatever country you're in. So they come through and I said, listen, I've been shot. I'm in Estepona, but I don't know the address. So the lady says, well, I need an address. I said, listen, if you don't trace my phone call, I'm going to die.
So do you speak English?
She spoke. I asked him to put me onto somebody who's English. So she said, okay, hold the line and then put me on hold for about a minute. Well, you can imagine in this time, I'm thinking the phone line's been cut off and I'd pulled my leg in real tight, you know, to try and stem the bleeding. And then all of a sudden, a police officer come on the phone And he just said, "Okay, sir, we are going to trace your phone call. The ambulance will phone will follow the police car." That was it. Put the phone down. 25 minutes. I was lay there waiting. And I could feel myself nearly passing out, you know, going unconscious, but I kept taking a big deep breath because my only thought in my mind was, I'm not going to see my kids again. And it was the most
How
terrifying.
Long did that 25 minutes seem to last for you?
Forever. It seems like they've told me it was 25 minutes. It seemed like I was there 2 hours. And a couple of times I felt myself passing out and I was sort of, I take a big deep breath and try and bring myself round because I kept thinking, I can't leave my kids without a dad. And it was a horrible experience. And I actually heard something turning around, you know, it was like a beeping, reversing. And I thought, oh, that's the ambulance. So I started shouting and they heard me over the wall and they come in the garden and took me off. And as soon as they put the stretcher next to me, I passed out, and then the only thing I remember is waking up in hospital.
Why do you think somebody thought that you were somebody?
There's only two reasons. The Spanish police came to the hospital the next day, and they said, "Why would somebody want to shoot you?" And I said, "They wouldn't. Nobody would want to shoot me." So they said, "In that area where I was staying, there's been a lot of gang-related crime with Russians and Ukrainians, so they seem to think that it could be something to do with one of them." So, to be honest, Mike, I'm a bit disgusted because since I got home, I came home 10 days later. I was in hospital for nearly 10 days in Marbella, and then I came straight over to Salford Royal, and they told me when I was leaving, they said, "We'll be in touch. As soon as you get home, the British police will be in contact. We'll follow up the investigation. We'll keep you posted with anything what's been going on." I haven't heard one thing since I come home.
From anybody?
From anybody.
British or the Spanish police?
No, nobody at all.
So somebody's... How many bullets did they put in you?
I got shot 3 times. 5 bullets got fired. I got one in my hip, one through my leg, and then one took a chunk out of my shoulder. One missed me and ricocheted off the floor and burnt my arm. And then the other one missed as well. But...
So somebody's... fired 5 shots at you,
yeah.
Nearly killed you, put 3 in you, and you've never had a phone call to this, either from the Spanish or the British authorities?
No, not at all. And I think it's terrible because, you know... from
not even some liaison, just a conversation?
Nothing. The only correspondence I've ever had is with hospital since I've come home. And the British police was supposed to be in contact with me just in case something was followed up or something... happened over here, and they, you know, they had record of it. Nothing.
So you've no idea what happened to the guy that.
All I know is that I got told that they'd watched the CCTV, and he walked over to me afterwards, and this rings true because I heard him walking near me, and he looked at me, and then runs off, which obviously suggests that he realised he'd got the wrong person. But that's the only thing I know.
If it was me. And this isn't particularly constructive. I'd be glad I was alive, okay, and I would have been, at your point, I'd have been terrified, and it was saying with me that I'd lose my kids, that they wouldn't see, they wouldn't have a dad. I'd be angry as well. Part of me, now.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel?
I'll tell you exactly how I feel, and it's unless somebody's been through this experience, they won't really be able to relate to it, but you have... Your perspective on life changes. You just appreciate things so much more because I've been somewhere where nobody will ever be. I've been so close to dying. I mean, I only just a few weeks ago got the medical reports translated from Spanish to English, and it doesn't make for good reading.
It's an artery, didn't it?
I've got a bullet lodged in my hip, which they'll never be able to take out because it's too close to my main artery, and... the one what went through me leg missed it by a millimetre. So if any of those two would have gone into my main arteries, I would have died within 5 or 10 minutes. So that's how lucky I am. Going forward, I mean, I've got nerve damage in my leg. To be honest, I've been 2 months after it happened. Yeah, I'm stubborn like that, Mike, and I won't be laying abed, you know, cooped up, feeling sorry for myself. I'm a sort of glass half empty. Not a glass half empty, I'm glass half full.
Me too.
So a lot of people would lie there feeling sorry for themselves. Why has this happened to me? You know, asking questions. And I'm not like that. I just, by nature, I'm not like that. So I've got nerve damage in my leg. They told me in Spain, they cut my leg open at the back, a massive scar on the back, because they opened it up to see whether it had hit my nerve. And they told me my nerve was fully intact. So when I come home and my leg still wasn't working after a couple of months, somebody, Mike Hayton, great hand specialist who I know through boxing, put me in touch with a guy who deals with soldiers who get shot, called Dominic Power, based in Birmingham. And what a fantastic guy he is, great surgeon. And he said his reasoning behind my leg not working 6 months after it happening was that he said scar tissue must be pressing on your nerve if they're telling me on the reports that it's not been hit. So he went in, cut the scar tissue away, and discovered that 75% of my nerve had been severed. So he had then, an hour operation turned into a 5 hour operation. He had to take a nerve out of the back of me, like a sensory nerve, and graft it into and rebuild the peripheral nerve at the front. So he's still not moving. My left foot still doesn't move. And they've told me that it's going to be another 2 or 3 months before it actually starts and even flickering.
I know that you've been fit all your life, boxed all your life, and I can tell you, by the way, from painful experience after doing 10 seconds with Anthony Crawler, it's the hardest training anybody does. But a boxer is probably the fittest all-round sportsman in any sport. Whenever I've been injured badly, I'm terrified that I won't be fit again.
Yeah.
What did you feel like? Because for you to be not 100%.
Yeah.
It bothered you. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, of course it bothered me, but as I said to you, glass half full type of guy, and I'm always sort of going, well, listen, I can't do that, but you know what? I'm here, and my kids are lucky to have me. And that's any time I start to get, you know, niggling little doubts, and I think, you know, why me and stuff like that. But then I just think to myself, you know what? You're lucky. You're really lucky. And I know how lucky I am to be here, because one of the nurses came in who could speak good English when I was in Spain. And listen, we have some horror stories about the hospitals in Spain, but they was fantastic. And she said to me, do you know what? To be in this situation, you are very unlucky. But after that, being in that situation, you have been the luckiest you could ever be. So I'm blessed. I'm so lucky to be here, and I never get down about it.
I was going to say that. How do you look at now when you see your kids or you take them out, or a sunny day, or a day when you've just done a session and you feel fit and you've got... You must view the positive things in life differently.
Do you know what, Mike? I'm busy. I'm so busy with work and stuff, and I'm lucky to still be able to do the majority of stuff what I could do before physically, because my leg's still not working, but I just have to wear an ankle brace to get me around. But I just, going out, taking the kids out, I enjoy it so much more, and I just think to myself, this is brilliant. And it sounds a little bit corny, but I just think to myself, this is ace. Just being here, being able to experience these things is brilliant.
And you're going to carry on training and teaching? And...
Yeah, I've got a big fight coming up with Tommy Coyle. He's boxing Luke Campbell in Hull. It's like, they call it the Battle of Humber. And Matt Macklin, I'm still training him. It looks like he's got a big fight in September. So yeah, things are going good.
All the best for you for the future.
Thanks, Mike.
Jamie Ward, great having you in.